Happy Thanksgiving. Something terrible happened to me early February this year. It was very unexpected, and to be honest, it's very concerning for me. She and I were talking about buying clothes, and she asked me to check the label in the neck of her dress and tell her what size it was. Whatever it was, I was going to make up a number, the lower one, because I'm not dumb. Just kidding, I would have been honest. So she turned around, and I found it, and I flipped it, and it was blurry. Like, I knew that it was writing. I knew that there were characters on this tiny slip of thing, but I couldn't. And so I tried backing away from it, and it was so small that I couldn't read it, and I pulled it back, and I backed away, and she was like, "What are you doing?" So I'm trying to read your tag. Said, "I can't see it." And then she laughed and said something like, "Finally, February 12th, the day you got old." Pretty bothered by it. Thanks for that. I was especially bothered because in 2016, she told me to go to the eye doctor. She said, "When's the last time you had your eyes checked?" And I said, "I think I was a kid." She said, "Go have your eyes checked." I said, "Fine, I will go have my eyes checked." And when the doctor put this chart up on the wall, I was boss. I read this quick, fast, and in a hurry. Bang, 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 bang. I was able to read a few characters off of that line. And that was, however, what is it, 20 feet? I don't know. It was a long way away. I was feeling pretty good about myself. I thought, I can see that. That's not a problem. So I didn't understand what was happening. So I called my mother, because that's what you do. You call your mother because you know that she will tell you the truth, but she's going to be loving and supportive. That's what mothers do. What she said was, "Welcome to the world of hyperopia, honey." So I went to Google, because I knew that Google would give me the answer minus the laughter or the sarcasm. Went to Google. Apparently, I'm farsighted. I can see street signs down the street, 50 feet. I can see those. I can see those street signs. But I can't see my hand in front of my face. Like, I can tell you how far away the McDonald's is. I can see what they're having. Like, if there's a special, I can read those words. But if I have a splinter, forget it. I just can't. I can't. It's gone. I can't even see my fingerprints blur. It's crazy. Uncorrected vision, I can see that far. I can count the individual buildings on the skyline of New York. I can even see windows and sometimes people in the windows. But I can't see my phone when it's right here. Like, I'm having to find that place. Like, where can I see what's going on? It's all about the field of vision. And you guys know how this works. It's all about your field of vision. And your eyes just don't stay perfect your whole life. I'm the only one in my family. The only one in my family who didn't have to have corrected vision. But now, in order to read stuff in front of me. Here's what I know, but those are claps of support. I'm clapping because another one of you has fallen prey. Yes, Lord, it's not me. His eyesight has gone, "New hallelujah, you are a fairy, just God." I was talking with somebody Tuesday night, and they commented that their glasses must be failing because they couldn't see as well as they used to. That's literally what the person said. They're like, "My glasses don't work anymore." And I was like, no, your eyes are working less than they were before. I said, maybe it's time for new glasses. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Maybe it's time for us to see things through a new lens. A lens that can help bring our lives, both the interior stuff that's happening and all the stuff that's happening out there, into better focus. This is the last week of our series, Thanksgiving Thread. What we've been talking about is how the Apostle Paul has woven the thread of being thankful through all four chapters of the letter he wrote to the church of Colossae, to the Colossians. The first week we talked about freedom. The Apostle Paul said that we should be thankful for the freedom that we have because of what Jesus did. Before Jesus came and gave the sacrifice, we were under the dominion of darkness. That word literally means authority. Before that sacrifice, before our ability to make our relationships right with God through Jesus, we were under the authority of the enemy. But because of what Jesus did, we have freedom. That was week one. Week two, we talked about how we've got to be grateful for our foundation in Jesus Christ. The church in Colossae was dealing with heresy. People were trying to add to the gospel They were trying to subtract from it. They were trying to form like this whole, if you don't know what I know, then you don't really have the truth. What they were doing was trying to create some prestige for themselves, some fame. Like, if you don't know me, then you don't know the truth. If you don't have what I have, you need to come and talk to me like I'm the most important thing. It was self-aggrandizement. It was this idea of come and worship me because I have the knowledge. And Paul was just really trying to wipe that out. So he was teaching about the foundation of Jesus Christ. And he said, no other foundation can be laid than the one that's already been laid, and that is Jesus, the cornerstone. We should be thankful for our freedom. We should be thankful for our foundation. And this week I want to talk about how we should be thankful for focus. The Apostle Paul encourages the Colossians, and through them us, to focus and be thankful for a very important truth. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3 today. I can actually see this, so I'm not going to put on my glasses. Not for me. Not that. Colossians chapter 3. This is the NIV. 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Context always important, because our verse starts with the word therefore. Therefore means back up a little bit. Because if you don't get what's back one or two verses, the therefore doesn't make a lot of sense, and you can just cherry pick it and take it out of context. But the context is this. Paul says, therefore, and what he's talking about is, because everybody in the church is the same. That's what he says. He says here, this is in verse 11, it says here, there is now no longer slave or free, Jewish or Greek, barbarian, Scythian, for all are one in Christ, and Christ is all. He says, the church is the church, baby. It's not that we deny the differences. It's not that we try to look beyond the color. It's not that we try to smooth out or bring all of the ethnicities to the same place. That's not it at all. He just says that Christ unites everybody. In the body of Christ, we are all united. Not despite of our differences, but because of our differences. Because of who we are. Jesus died. And that's very powerful. Therefore, that's where the therefore comes in. Jesus unites all believers. So therefore, Paul calls us to be compassionate. Christ unites everybody. Then we should all be able to be compassionate. We should all be able to be kind. Regardless of where you've come from, if you're in Jesus, if you're in Christ, you should be able to be humble. Woo, that's a tough one. No matter what your background, no matter how you were trained in your culture of origin or your family of origin, you should be able to be gentle. No matter what your DNA or your genetics, no matter what your parents unknowingly, accidentally passed on to you, you should be able to be patient. My father, in my life, was a pretty patient guy. But before I was born, that guy was one of the most impatient people on the planet. If he wanted something, he wanted it then. My mom, when she would cook dinner, would serve my dad last because he wanted the food barely hot, like he wanted it to hurt going down. Do you know what I'm saying? I do the same thing. Christina says, if you're going to eat a hot food, then you must declare I'm burning myself intentionally before you take a bite. And so I do it every time. I'm burning myself intentionally, and then I put food in my mouth, and then burns me. But I like really hot food. My dad was an impatient guy. For my two brothers and my sister, when he said, let's go, he wanted them to somehow, like, Star Trek it. Like, to be from there to there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, and just be there. And when they weren't there, just you could see the color just start to come up in his neck, like he's counting the seconds that went by. He didn't disciple me in that way. And my mother's one of the most patient people on the planet. I don't know if you know, but my brothers and my sister and me, we're not normal. We're just not. My mother always had love and patience for us. One of the most patient people ever. So I know that my impatience, that's right, I'm going to blame it on my dad. I know that my impatience comes from that genetic connection. But there's the call to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. No matter where we come from, if we are all in Christ, at the very least to one another in the body, but certainly to each other, if not the world, we should be able to be all of these things. And he proceeds the call. I'm going to get to the lens. Bear with me. You guys know I got to take a trip around the block before I get there. I got to go around the Beltway because I'm not taking 295. That goes right to the White House. That's terrible. Don't ever let maps take you that way. I've got to go all the way around. Got to go all the way around. Don't want to see the White House today. Got to go all the way around. Paul proceeds the call to these things, to these virtues, with three words which are very powerful. He says this, and these words are designed to undermine any objections, any but whatabouts that we have, right? Because we hear these, right? We're called to be patient, but my daddy wasn't patient, and I struggle with that, and I'm not Jesus. I mean, I'm not perfect. That's my go-to. When I find myself acting or reacting in a way that I know does not bring glory to the name of God, or does not reflect his character in me, I go, I'm not perfect. Like, that's my big eraser. That's my big trump card, right? That's the big thing that I throw out there. I go, well, I'm not perfect. And Paul says these virtues are important, and here's why they're important. Because you are chosen, holy, and loved. And those words should undermine any argument that you've got about being any of those things to anybody, especially the body of Christ, but certainly out of the world as well. Chosen, holy, and loved. The church of Colossae, the Colossians was not a Jewish church. They weren't. Paul had never even been there. But it wasn't a Jewish church. He wasn't speaking to a Jewish church. He was speaking to a multi-ethnic, multi-racial church. Yay. Feeling kind of good about Maranatha right now? Let me stop. Lord, that was so prideful. I'm so sorry. I'm so prideful. Good grief. Multi-racial, multi-ethnic. He was speaking into a church where there were some Jews, but he was telling everybody, Jews and not Jews, you've been chosen by God. He's calling attention to the reality that you have been chosen intentionally and purposefully. That's okay. Reading my scripture for me, no worries. That's good, by the way. Quick commercial. The Bible, the YouVersion Bible app will read scripture to you. You just heard it right there in a very interesting voice. He's saying, listen, you have been called, you've been chosen. God chose you with intention and with purpose. You didn't actually just get swept along with the really important people. When Jesus stretched his arm out on that cross, it wasn't for the few. It wasn't for the 1% or the 5%. It was forever. You didn't get lucky, although sometimes I feel like I got lucky because I'm attached to my mother. My mother's going to just translate to heaven. There might be a chariot of fire. I don't know, but I feel like she won't see death because she walks with the Lord, and then she won't be just like what's-his-name from the Old Testament. And sometimes I'm like, that's the only... I know when I get there. St. Peter's going to be having a conversation with my mother. She's going to be like, please! And Peter's going to be like, fine, come on in. We didn't just get swept up with the good. We're not fortunate because we know somebody who loves God or has a better relationship with him than we do. God chose us intentionally and with purpose. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, you are holy. That's such a weird word. That's such a strange word because that means set apart by God for God. Wait. That kind of sounds like a raw deal. It sounds like you died for me and now you own me. I don't feel so great about that. He bought you with his blood. And the only way that you can ever be healthy, whole, or fulfilled is by being a part of his family. That's it. That's why he paid the price. So you could be whole. So you could be healed, so you could be well, and so you could be fulfilled. John 3:16 says this. I'm not going to read it because you all know it. It's the best known verse in the Bible. It tells us how much God loves us. 1 John 4 tells us that we love only because he first loved us. We are chosen, holy, and dearly loved. And because of those things, let there be in our hearts, with fullness, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We should be able to be all of those things. In the face of being chosen, set apart, and dearly loved, how can we not be those things? Let me say to you that if you are indifferent, inconsiderate, harsh, or impatient to people around you, much less to the people in the body of Christ, that is an affront to the love that you have been shown. That's an affront to it. And that's a refusal of the purpose you have been called to. A price has been paid for you. You should act like it.
Amen.
I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Don't think because this platform is 8 inches up that somehow I've arrived. Because I hain't yet, as we say in the South. That's the deep South. Ooh, I can't believe I just told y'all about hain't. I hain't done that yet. Y'all understand when I talk like this? Okay, we'll slip. I'm not there yet. We have been bought with a price. We are dearly loved, holy, and set apart. We are chosen, and we need to act like it. It's challenging. And I understand that it's easy for me to say that to you. That's great, Pastor Ben. I appreciate that. But you don't live my life. You don't have my challenges. You have no idea the personalities that I'm exposed to and must deal with on a regular basis. And some of them live in my house, and I can't get away. Not like Thanksgiving where they come, you're polite, and then they leave. Like, I see this person every day. You don't know my life. I hear you. And I understand. And today's challenge is about adopting a new lens to see your life and your circumstances through. We're going to keep going. Paul goes on to encourage the Colossians to be patient. We're breaking this down because we're going to get to this lens, and you will understand how it is that you can put this lens in front of you as you view things in your life. He goes on to encourage the Colossians to be patient. And I'm going to read that because he says it two times in a row. This is what he said. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Then in 13, he says, bear with each other. Those mean exactly the same thing. Clothe yourself with patience. Bear with one another. That's how you know that he knows that patience is a really tough one. He doesn't say that about it. He doesn't double up on the other ones. Do you know what I'm saying? Paul understands that being patient is a great challenge to everybody, no matter where you come from. Then he calls us to forgiveness, and that is no big deal, because we can give ourselves our own sweet time. We'll take our own sweet time for that process, so that's fine. Call me to forgive, I will get there eventually. Then he calls us to forgive as we've been forgiven by the Father. Instant and complete. Don't take a day, don't take a week, don't grind about it for 5 or 10 years of your life. Bring it before God and stop holding the people in your life accountable. Let God have all that goes along with that and forgive them so that your forgiveness for others resembles the forgiveness that you've received. He does not roll back the cross for you when you make a mistake. The cross has already happened. The forgiveness is already complete. It's already there for you. Who are we to withhold forgiveness when we have been forgiven so much? He calls us to forgive the way that we have been forgiven by God. And finally, he says, put on love. Because love is the tortilla around the burrito. It just is. I don't know why I just thought of Chipotle. That's a lie. I'm a little hungry. I'm a little hungry. That's what happened right there. But have you ever noticed, though, have you ever seen, like, if you were to ask for everything on that line, they already, when they get to the end, they're putting the leg up on the thing, like the guy's dropping his elbow. They are literally, and don't you get upset when your tortilla tears? Don't you get a little bit like, that's going to fall out when I try to eat it. I am just absolutely off track right now. But if you think about it, that's a really great analogy. He's saying, stuff all of this stuff in, and then whack it with the burrito of love. Let love, because love is so universal and so powerful, and because it was the driving force for sacrifice, let love cover all of these other things that I am calling you to. Let love be the thing that holds it all together. And then Paul gives us the lens. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Thank God. You've been talking for 13 minutes. Please, let's get to the end. Then the Apostle Paul gives us the lens that will give us the focus that we need to be and to do all of these things. It all leads up to here. And then sometimes the challenge of Scripture is it can feel like, if you're not careful, if you don't read your word pretty consistently, if you don't go back to certain passages, sometimes it feels like the Scripture sets a bar that is absolutely, you just can't reach it. But there's never a truth that you're called to without an understanding of how you can be empowered to get there. That's not how the Scripture works. God doesn't stand up there and say, nanny, 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 you'll never be up here with me. That's not how it works. Even Paul, who was like, if you're looking for an example, check this out, would tell you quick, fast, and in a hurry how broken he was and how grateful he was for the grace and the mercy of his life, how he was a slave to Christ. Those were the words that he used. This is the lens. This is what he says. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Such a small, just a few words. And how many times have you heard it? How many times have you heard it from me? How many times? If you were in the Colossians study, you heard it several times. This is one of those powerful pieces of Scripture which is so multi-layered and so almost instantly applicable to so many areas of our lives that we come back to it over and over and over again. And yet, if you're not careful, you miss how the peace of Christ should become, needs to be, the lens through which you view everything on the inside and on the outside. It's the thing that brings things into focus. When things get too close to me, for me, that's when my faith gets blurred. That's when my understanding begins to be undermined by doubt. When I get so focused on me and what's going on with me and how I feel about what's going on and how I'm affected by things and how the words that people say turn me inside out and about how the actions that I see I have a problem with because I feel this way. When I begin to judge things and people based on what's going on with me, I've lost my vision. Everything is out of focus. The beautiful thing about the peace of Christ is that it defies frustration. If you're looking through the lens of peace, if the peace of Christ is ruling in you, and that word means to be an umpire, I'll get there in just a minute. If the peace of Christ is the lens through which you view everything, then peace defies frustration. Can't be frustrated if you have peace. Peace defies anxiety. It defies anger. It defies depression. It defies insecurity. It defies unforgiveness. It defies guilt. It defies shame. It defies fear. If you're looking through peace, if that's your lens, if that's everything comes through that to you, then none of these things can stick because the peace of Christ is ruling in your heart. That's why Paul says, this is the lens. I have called you to all of these things, which, let's be honest, are commodities that are in short supply in our world. Feel like everybody's patient out there? When you walk out the door, do you experience just waves of patience? Are you overwhelmed by the humility of the world? Everybody is so humble. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? What's wrong with you? Get out of the way. Ever been to Walmart? You will find none of these virtues there. None of these virtues. Around the holidays? Why do they have 32 lines and two are open? Let me stop. I mean, they have the numbers. I know that there's 32 lines. Why are only two people working? You can't find any of these values there, any of these virtues. But if you see through the lens of peace, then when you see something that should bring fear, peace intervenes. Peace says no. Only peace lives here. That word rule specifically means, in the original language, act as an umpire. That's so interesting. Paul's always using these analogies that they would have understood, but if we're not careful, we miss. Can you imagine an umpire? Anybody baseball fan? Yeah, raise your hand high. Yes. Imagine you're watching your favorite team and the umpire never calls a strike for your pitcher. Boy, you better find somebody else with a mask. Are you kidding me? That's the best my guy's got. 98 miles an hour right down the center. Ball, what are you talking about? Can you imagine an umpire that never called a strike? Can you imagine soccer fans? Can you imagine an umpire that never called warnings, never gave out yellow or red cards? You could hack a dude and he would just be like, it's fine. No worries. Basketball referee that never called a foul? Peace. And this is very important. Never calls fouls. Because it brings the inward and the outward into focus. So that peace is the result, no matter the original intent or the effect. Let me say that again. Peace can act as the umpire so that no matter what you see and you experience, no matter what the original intent was or what the ultimate effect is, you experience peace. Imagine that. Imagine being able to handle whatever came your way. Imagine if nothing ever rocked your boat. Now, I understand I'm speaking big here. We're all human beings. We're not perfect. That's my go-to. I'm not perfect. We're allowed our original human response. God is not saying be a robot. But he is saying this, once you have your response, you better look back at that through the lens of peace. You better refocus, because if you'll do that, then no matter if it was intended to hurt you or not, you won't be hurt. You'll be peaceful. No matter whether the result was painful or not, you can just let that go and go, no, I have peace. Only peace lives here. There is no room for insecurity. There is no room for unforgiveness. There is no room in here for fear. I renounce depression and anxiety. I will not have those things because only peace lives here. I will not make room for those things because I have peace. That's the lens through which I see. You can say whatever you want to me. What it affects in me, what it happens in me, what it causes in me, what it results in me, is peace. That's the lens. The word let there in verse 15, and I've preached about this before. The word let there in verse 15 is one of the most important words for you to engage in your life of faith. It says specifically what Paul says is let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Do you understand what that means? That you have a choice. It's your choice. Sometimes I wish despite all of my protestations, despite the fact that I just sometimes wish God would take a bucket of peace and be like, just soak me with it. Just dump it. Sometimes I wish he would like hold me and like shove it down my throat and be like, get the peace in there! Like, I just wish he would just overcome all of my frustrations and all of my like what about me's and all of my entitlement. I wish he would just come and knock all that down and just soak me with his peace, but he doesn't do that. It has to be a relationship decision. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. No matter what is in focus or out of focus for you, no matter what is going on in your world, let peace be your reality. Let it be real. And that is so challenging, man. Don't turn on the news. Sometimes I worry about even picking up my phone because I think it might burst into flames because it has like Facebook on it and Twitter. And I think I even have the Instagram app. I never use it. Like, sometimes I'm worried, like, I've even touched it, it's going to be like, and just flame up. Because social media, just, gosh, we're so connected, and it's so negative. How is it that we can have peace no matter what? Paul says, let that be your lens. You have to choose his peace. And what's important is he says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you are called to peace, you miss the empowerment there if you're not careful. You're not the only one trying to live in peace. It's not just you. When you look around this room, everybody may seem to have the facade of we've got it all together, but everybody is just stirring and got that tornado of stuff going on in them. Maybe it depends on the day. Some of my older saints have figured out that this is how to live life, and they are concerned because concern is the right amount of worry for the right amount of time. They know how to be concerned, and then they know how to let God have it, right? I don't. I like worry. I like worry. I like gut-wrenching, sleep-stealing, sweat-causing, appetite-destroying worry. I like that. Because I somehow think that my worry is really going to help the situation. Like, if I'm super focused on this, like, that's going to help. It's not how it works.
That's right.
We are empowered to walk alongside one another. So that when my lens is cracked, or when my lens is cloudy, or when I can't find my lens, you can help lead me back to it. Because you are choosing peace despite some really tough, difficult, life-altering circumstances. You are finding yourself standing in the midst of turmoil, but because peace is your lens, maybe not for the next 5 minutes, but right now, you can lead me there. We can lead one another back towards that peace that Paul calls us to. And if we have that peace, then we can be kind and gentle and humble and compassionate with one another. And if we can do that in here, we can do that out there.
Amen.
Let peace bring everything into focus for you. That's what Paul is saying. In the last parts of these verses, the Thanksgiving thread emerges. Because Paul says right after that, and be thankful. It's weird, over time, the guys who know way more than me, I do, have been like, was that just like an accident? You know what I'm saying? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart because you're called to be a member of this body and you're all called to peace, period. And be thankful, period. Nope, he sets that off because he wants you to know that there are two things to be thankful for. The peace of Christ and the body of Christ. Be thankful for the peace that can rule in your heart and be thankful that you have a group of people with whom you can enter into that. And when you ain't got it, they can help lead you back to it. And when you've got it and one of your brothers or sister doesn't, you can sit with them, be with them in that moment, and lead them back to it. Help them find their lens again so that life isn't so blurry and things are not so concerning and worrisome. The peace of Christ is the lens that we all of us need first and foremost, to function in the body of Christ, and then secondly, to function in the world. The thread of thanksgiving continues because he says, sing to God with gratitude. Sing to God with gratitude. When you sing, if all you are doing when you come in and you're just singing and hoping God will change your life, I'm singing to you, Lord, please reach in and change me. If that's what's happening for you, if while you are singing you are thinking about all of your problems that you desperately need the Lord to intervene, you're missing an opportunity to be grateful for all that God does for you now. For the way that he is here for you. Do you understand that you could show up here every week and if God didn't want to be, you don't have to be here? Wait, what? Yeah, he chooses to be here with you. He chooses to be by your side. He chooses to live within you. That's his choice. We should be thankful for that. We should sing gratefully with gratitude in our hearts. And then we should give thanks to God through Jesus, taking every action and speaking every word in his name. That's the one that just... That's the one that's so challenging. And everything that you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. I have to drive down 95 in the name of Jesus. Can't do it. I'm trying. I'm trying to get there. I have to see what's going on in my world and on my life, in my life. And everything that I see in response to it and everything that I do in response to it, I've got to do it all in his name. Because I'm made in his image. I am his reflection to this world. If I don't have that lens of peace, if I can't figure out how to have peace, if I can't let that peace clear up all the blurriness, both within me and outside of me, then I can't do any of these things that Paul's calling me to. If I can just remember that I am dearly loved, that I am holy and chosen, if we can just remember who we are and how to look at this world, we can be the people God needs us to be, first and foremost to each other, and then to the world at large. I am thankful for freedom. I'm thankful for the freedom that is mine because of what Jesus did. I'm thankful for the foundation that he creates in my life. The life that he lived and the example that he set. It was crazy, the things that he said. Absolutely crazy. He turned his society upside down. He was supposed to come with a sword, and he was supposed to ride in, and he was supposed to slaughter Rome. Just like one big...
Like it was supposed to be this gigantic thing that was supposed to happen. He was supposed to be like this level 100 guy that just came in and wiped everybody out. And he came and he sat on a hill and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because of me.
I'm so thankful for the foundation that he laid for me in my life and for my world and for the people that I love. And I'm thankful for the focus that I can have if I choose it. I'm thankful for that. There were no peace. If that can be our lens, if we can choose to have that focus, then no matter what happens, we will see things clearly, and we will see him clearly in ourselves and in everything we see. What are you focused on? For real. What are you focused on right now? Focused on work, that's not a bad thing. Are you focused on how much you hate your job? That's not great. Are you focused on school? You better be focused on school. Are you focused on trying to figure out how you'll pay back the loans? Are you focused on the anxiety that you feel every time you see a syllabus? Show me a syllabus and I will get queasy like that. Syllabus and beats. You want to make me run away? Show me some pickle beats or syllabus. I'm out. I'm gone. What are you focused on right now? Are you focused on a relationship that is broken and the pain that it's causing you? Are you focused on something that is pulling your attention away? Has God gotten blurry for you? Because you've either moved so close and inward, you're so focused on yourself, or you're so far from him that you can't make him out anymore. It doesn't matter how much you squint. Arm's length or right up to you, you can't see him anymore. What are you focused on? And can you take this moment, not later, don't go home, don't do that, I'll pray about it, Pastor. I'll pray about focusing on Jesus, I'll pray about peace. What if in this moment, in this church, in this building, right now, today, this Sunday, what if you could be different? What if you could begin to get your focus back? What if you could, because I'm about to pray, what if you really, really pray? What if you really, really pray for the courage to do whatever it is that you need to do? What if you pray? pray for the conviction to do whatever it is that you need to do. What if you just asked God? What if you just said, today I let. There's been other stuff in the way. Some of it's intentional, God, to be honest. But some of it's not intentional. There's other things in my life that I didn't put there that other people have dragged in the way. There are circumstances and events that I don't know what to do about. I don't know how to be at peace, but also be in solidarity with all my people. I don't know how to be at peace and yet have an understanding of what this all means. I don't know how to be at peace and live day by day. I don't know how to do that. So I'm just gonna let you do your thing. I'm just going to let you use peace as the arbiter for me. You're going to be peace. Your peace is going to be the umpire. And everything that comes through the strike zone is just going to be peaceful. What are you focused on? You can go home blurring out of focus if you want to. Maybe today. Maybe right now. Father, there are many number of things that causes you to become blurry in our sight. Lord, when things get closer and closer to me, that's when you get blurry. When I am so focused on my thoughts and on my feelings, what I need, the things that challenge me, where I'm supposed to go next, what's the next sermon about, what's the next ministry opportunity about, where are we supposed to go in the future? When I begin to think about things like that, those are my focus, then you get blurry and my faith gets blurry and doubt becomes clearer and clearer. There's any number of things out there in this room today people have walked in with, and for some of us, Father, we know that you're out there, but we can barely make you out. So blurry. Pray, Father, right now that we would be courageous enough. If there's something within us that we need to move, if there's some lens that we have chosen to look through, the lens of hurt, the lens of entitlement, the lens of frustration, the lens of bitterness, the lens of insecurity, or fear, or doubt, or anxiety. If there's a lens that we are choosing, I pray, God, that you would shatter it right now in Jesus' name and replace it with that lens of peace so that we will let the peace of Christ. This is the same man who said, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. And that was before they crucified him. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the physical destruction. He knew the spiritual challenge and the darkness that he was about to face. And he said, my peace I give you. This is the peace of Christ that we can have. This is the lens through which we can see everything. And it always brings the truth into focus. Help us, God, in this moment. I pray that somebody would leave here today different. I pray, Father, that somebody today would allow whatever lens that they've been looking through to be destroyed, cracked, shattered, become dust. And they would allow peace to slide down over their vision so they can see you no matter how near or how far. If you're right beside them, I pray that you would be clear, 4K HD. I pray, Father, if you're out there in the distance just because you're waiting for them to follow you, because you're on the road to their success, because you're out there with the light, with the beacon, you're just waiting for them to walk towards you, I pray, God, that they would see you clearly and be able to march step by step, foot by foot towards you. Seeing you clearly, God. Thankful today, Father, for this peace which we can have because of what your Son Jesus did. Truly, God, may our thanksgiving be found in you.